Good day, and welcome to the Citius Pharmaceuticals Investor Call. All participants will be in a listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. And to withdraw your question, please press star then two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Elhanan Allan. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Chuck. Welcome to Citius Pharmaceuticals Investor Call to discuss two significant milestones for the company: the spin-out of Citius Oncology into a publicly traded company and the FDA approval of LYMPHIR for the treatment of relapsed or refractory cutaneous T-cell lymphoma. This is Elhanan Allan, VP of Investor Relations for Citius Pharmaceuticals. With me on today's call are Citius Chairman and CEO Leonard Mazur, Chief Financial Officer Jaime Bartushak, Chief Medical Officer Dr. Myron Czuczman, and Vice President of Commercial Operations Mike McGuire. On August 8, 2024, Citius issued a press release announcing the FDA approval of LYMPHIR. On August 12, 2024, the company issued a press release announcing the completion of the merger of its Citius Oncology subsidiary with Kenex Keene, a special purpose acquisition company. The press releases and a webcast of this call can be accessed through the investor section of the Citius website at citiuspharma.com. Before we get started, I would like to remind everyone that any statements made on today's conference call that express a belief, expectation, projection, forecast, anticipation, or intent regarding future events and the company's future performance may be considered forward-looking statements as defined by the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act. These forward-looking statements are based on information available to Citius Pharmaceuticals management as of today and involve risks and uncertainties, including those noted in our press releases and filings with the SEC. Such forward-looking statements are not guarantees of future performance. Actual results may differ materially from those projected in the forward-looking statements. Citius Pharmaceuticals specifically disclaims any intent or obligation to update these forward-looking statements except as required by law. A telephone replay will be available shortly after the completion of this call. The dial-in information was made available in a press release issued on August 12, 2024. The archived webcast will be available for 90 days on our website at citiuspharma.com. For the benefit of those who may be listening to the replay or archived webcast, this call was held and recorded on August 13, 2024 at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Since then, Citius may have made announcements related to the topics discussed, so please refer to the company's most recent press releases and SEC filings. And with that, I'll turn the call over to Citius Chairman and CEO Leonard Mazur.
Thank you, Elhanan, and good morning, everyone. Thank you all for joining us today. I'm thrilled to welcome you to our investor call. For the past several years, our team has been relentlessly focused on delivering exceptional results and advancing our mission to transform patient care. Earlier this summer, we shared exceptional top-line results of our Mino-Lok Phase 3 trial, which met both primary and secondary endpoints. Today, I'm proud to share two additional achievements that underscore our progress and potential. These developments are integral to our future as we begin to transition from a development stage pre-revenue company to a revenue-generating biopharmaceutical company. Firstly, we received FDA approval for our new therapy for cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, a rare and aggressive form of cancer. We believe Citius is well-positioned to capture the meaningful market share of an overall market that we estimate approaches $400 million. Historically, the market has expanded with each new entrant, and we anticipate that will be the case with LYMPHIR's introduction as well, which would support even greater upside potential. This will occur as patients are likely to cycle through multiple treatments as their disease progresses. More importantly, we are excited to offer hope to CTCL patients for whom existing treatment options may not be viable. This approval is a testament to our commitment to bring life-changing treatments to patients in need. This milestone not only validates our development efforts, but also opens up new avenues for growth and impact in the oncology space. Shortly, Dr. Myron Czuczman, our Chief Medical Officer, and Mike McGuire, our VP of Commercial Operations, will provide additional details about the need for LYMPHIR and our plans to bring it to the market. The other milestone we will discuss today is a successful spinoff of our subsidiary, Citius Oncology, into a publicly traded company. This strategic move has positioned us to better support the launch of LYMPHIR and capitalize on emerging opportunities while retaining 90% ownership on behalf of Citius Pharma shareholders. This ensures that we will continue to benefit from Citius Oncology's success and provide us with additional flexibility to drive our core initiatives forward. As we all know, the spinoff has occurred and trading will begin in the course of this morning. Jamie Bartushak, our CFO, will discuss the spinoff and how it will support the launch of Lymphere in greater detail. Before I turn the call over to Dr. Trichman, I'd like to acknowledge that these achievements are the result of our dedicated team's hard work and the unwavering support of our investors, for which we're grateful. As we move forward, we remain committed to leveraging our strengths, pursuing innovative therapies, and creating sustainable value for our shareholders. Thank you for your continued trust and confidence in our vision. With that, I'll turn the call over to Dr. Trichman, who will provide an overview of CTCL, the treatment landscape, and the unique benefits of Lymphire. Dr. Trichman.
Thank you, Leonard. Earlier in my career as Chief of the Lymphoma Myeloma Service at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center in Buffalo, I treated patients with cutaneous T-cell lymphoma. In those days, treatment options were very limited. We've come a long way in the past few decades, but relapse refractory CTCL remains a devastating and incurable cancer. I am thrilled that Lymphire will be added to the treatment paradigm, providing many CTCL patients with another viable option to help manage their disease. Let's first review what CTCL is and the current treatment landscape. Cutaneous T-cell lymphoma is a rare and complex form of non-Hodgkin lymphoma that primarily affects the skin. It originates from T lymphocytes, a type of white blood cell that plays a crucial role in the immune system. Unlike other lymphomas, CTCL manifests primarily in the skin, leading to symptoms such as red, scaly patches, thickened plaques, and in advanced stages, tumors. The disease can cause significant skin discomfort, including incessant itching and pain, and may progress to involve lymph nodes and internal organs. In patients with more aggressive CTCL subtypes, such as Sézary syndrome or advanced stage mycosis fungoides, patients are likely to be sequentially treated with multiple therapies. Regardless of subtype or stage, CTCL is typically treatable but not curable. For this reason, the goals of treatment are focused on disease control and optimization of patients' quality of life. The treatment landscape of CTCL has traditionally been challenging. Patients may remain on a specific therapy for a prolonged period of time, but cumulative toxicity and/or drug resistance requires a change to a different therapy. The heterogeneity and rarity of CTCL means that an individualized approach to treatment is needed for each patient. To properly treat such a rare and heterogeneous disease, the National Comprehensive Cancer Network, or NCCN, recommends patients be treated at specialized centers whose practitioners have expertise in CTCL. Early stage CTCL is often managed with skin-directed therapies, such as topical corticosteroids, phototherapy, radiation therapy, and/or retinoids. These treatments aim to control symptoms and maintain skin health. For more advanced stages, systemic therapies become necessary. Historically, these have included chemotherapy, immunotherapy, and targeted therapies, each with varying degrees of efficacy and tolerability. Despite these options, there exists a significant unmet medical need for more effective and less toxic treatments. Most prescribed systemic targeted therapies for relapse refractory CTCL have limitations. have been associated with variable symptoms such as progressive peripheral neuropathy, fatigue, skin rash, and/or heme toxicity, necessitating careful monitoring, potential dose adjustments, and/or subsequent discontinuation of that therapy. The FDA approval of our new therapy represents a significant advancement in this evolving landscape, providing a much-needed novel option of using an immunotoxin with a unique mechanism of action. Lymphir is an interleukin-2 diphtheria toxin fusion protein which targets the IL-2 receptor on CTCL cells as well as on inhibitory Tregs or regulatory T cells to allow an enhanced killing of tumor. Importantly, Lymphir demonstrated a 36% objective response rate, partial and complete remissions, and an approximately 50% clinical benefit rate, which included patients that had greater than 6 months of stable disease and heavily pretreated patients with a median of 4 and up to greater than 8 prior therapies. The median duration of response in patients was 6.5 months, with 20% of patients achieving equal to or greater than 1 year. Time to response was rapid for these typically symptomatic patients at 1.41 months, with 68% responding to their treatment by the end of the second treatment of cycle treatment. The majority of patients, in fact, 84%, in the phase 3 study demonstrated improvement in their skin tumor burden. And very importantly, LYMPHIR did not demonstrate evidence for cumulative toxicity over time. This is a key differentiator from other commonly prescribed systemic treatments for CTCL. What it means is that patients can potentially stay on the treatment for a longer period of time. With regard to its safety profile, the prescribing information for LYMPHIR contains a box warning for capillary leak syndrome, or CLS. So it is important for patients and prescribers to read the full prescribing information for LYMPHIR, which is available at www.lymphirhcp.com. Of note, in our phase 3 trial, 14 patients experienced CLS, with the majority being either grade 1 or 2, typically in the first or second cycle of therapy. Only 3 patients discontinued treatment. The other patients were able to resume therapy following primarily a temporary drug interruption. Although we did not observe any significant visual impairment as an adverse event during our trial, the FDA approval includes a post-marketing requirement to characterize the potential risk of visual impairment. We will monitor all safety data as it emerges and work with the FDA to design an appropriate mechanism to capture this data. We plan to submit a draft protocol to the FDA by the end of the year. The post-marketing requirement will not delay or impact the launch of LYMPHIR. In summary, we are elated that CTCL patients and their healthcare providers will have a new therapy distinct from the currently available treatments to battle this intractable disease. And we look forward to continuing to support 2 investigator-initiated trials which are exploring LYMPHIR as a combination therapy to treat other forms of cancer. For example, in combination with autologous CAR T cells in high-risk large cell lymphoma patients, and in a separate trial with combination with PD-1 pembrolizumab in relapse refractory patients with GYN neoplasms. Both of these studies are progressing well, and we look forward to updating you on their progress in the future. With that, I'll turn the phone call over to Mike McGuire to walk you through our plans to bring LYMPHIR to market as quickly as possible. Mike?
Thank you, Myron. I'm very pleased to be on today's call to share our strategy to launch LYMPHIR and support its growth in the market over the long term. We've been preparing for this day for a long time and are eager to ramp up our activities now that LYMPHIR has been approved. Our priorities are really centered around meeting the needs of CTCL patients. This means identifying patients that are best served by LYMPHIR, driving healthcare provider awareness and adoption, and providing best-in-class onboarding and ongoing support. Our strategy has been informed by extensive market research to understand the patient journey, healthcare provider needs and perceptions, and the overall treatment landscape. All of this, of course, is supported by our exceptional manufacturing, sales, and marketing teams. Speaking of sales, we recently welcomed Chad Lachow as our national sales director. He's hit the ground running to recruit and lead our outsourced sales organization. Chad's extensive experience in CTCL space has enabled us to advance our launch preparation, making us well-positioned to move forward post-approval. The field force will consist of an integrated team of regional sales directors, key account managers, national account managers, thought leader liaisons, and medical science liaisons. Now that LYMPHIR is approved, we intend to accelerate the onboarding and development of our field team. In the near term, Eversana will serve as our outsourced sales team. The sales force will be dedicated exclusively to Citius Oncology and represent Citius Oncology with our customers. Ensuring quality engagement with key targets is core to our strategy. To that end, we have developed a proprietary patient identification program, a first-in-class data analytics tool utilizing machine learning, which we believe will significantly enhance our sales effort by allowing us to more accurately identify potential patients. From a pricing perspective, we intend to price LymphFare similarly to the peers in this rare indication. With the best-in-class patient support program, we do not anticipate access or reimbursement issues, and we'll be applying for a specific J-code for LymphFare, which should ease reimbursement processing for providers. In addition, we have submitted the appropriate clinical information to NCCN for inclusion in the CTCL guidelines. Inclusion in these guidelines is important for commercial and Medicare reimbursement. The team is also developing a patient assistance hub to support providers and patients with reimbursement and education materials. We do not anticipate that the cost of treatment will be a hurdle for prescribers. We know from our market research that healthcare providers are eager to have another treatment option for patients. To help spread the word about LymphFear, we have developed a creative campaign that highlights LymphFear's unique dual mode of action in the IL-2 receptor as a logical target in the treatment of CTCL. Moreover, we intend to focus on key opinion leader engagement. The team has interacted with many of the key prescribers at medical meetings over the past 10 months. And due to the concentrated nature of the prescribing base with fewer than 800 healthcare professionals treating more than 3 patients a year, actively engaging with KOLs and CTCL foundations and societies is a core element of our awareness and educational program. Our goal is to ensure that these 800 healthcare professionals are aware of LymphFear and are thoughtfully engaged by our company post-launch. To support our efforts to drive awareness, we have a full marketing plan in place and are finalizing communication assets in preparation for the launch. These include patient brochures, materials for healthcare providers, online content, and training and support materials for our sales team. Our medical information contact center, staffed with trained pharmacists, is now up and running. And patients and providers will have centralized source of information at LymphFearHCP.com. Currently, the site serves to capture interest in LymphFear updates leading to launch. Upon launch, it will serve as a central hub for patients and providers. Our plan is to launch LymphFear within the next 5 months. With a highly targeted strategy and tactical plan in place, I am confident in the team's ability to execute on this plan. Our goal is to make LymphFear available to patients and families who need it as quickly as possible. I will now turn the call over to Jamie Bartushak.
Thank you, Mike. The approval of LymphFear and the successful spin-out of Citius Oncology into a publicly traded company are very significant events for the company with important associated financial implications. Let's begin with LymphFear's approval. Although approved for an orphan indication, we believe the CTCL market size is approximately $400 million today and growing. Based on our significant market research, prior introductions of new therapies for CTCL have expanded the market by giving patients additional treatment options. Since patients typically cycle through multiple therapies, we anticipate the market will continue to expand with the approval of LymphFear. As Mike previously mentioned, with LymphFear now approved, we anticipate that LymphFear will be added to the NCCN guidelines prior to its commercial launch. This is the gating item for reimbursement across both governmental and commercial plans. Citius is confident that with a novel therapeutic, highly experienced commercial team and focused strategy, we will be well positioned to capture a meaningful share of the late stage, relapse, and refractory CTCL market. In preparation for the approval and subsequent commercialization of LymphFear, we are building out our commercial infrastructure and realigning our organizational structure. We have also signed commercial manufacturing agreements and have produced inventory to support the commercial launch as well as anticipated demand. Yesterday afternoon, we announced the completion of the transaction with 10X Keen to spin out Citius Oncology into a standalone publicly traded company. Citius Oncology is expected to begin trading on the NASDAQ exchange today under the ticker symbol CTOR. Citius Pharmaceutical maintains approximately 90% ownership of Citius Oncology. The company effectuated this in order to generate incremental value for LymphFear and Citius Oncology, which we believe will further be reflected and rolled into Citius Pharmaceuticals. By creating a new and independent company, Citius Oncology will be able to focus more directly on its own growth and operations, potentially attracting investors who are specifically interested in commercial stage and late stage oncology companies. At the same time, retaining approximately 90% of the spin-out allows us to maintain significant control and participate in the future growth and profits of Citius Oncology. This percent ownership will require Citius Pharmaceuticals to consolidate the financials of Citius Oncology into its operations while giving Citius Pharma the freedom to pursue a parallel strategic path. Ultimately, this provides us with financial flexibility and the potential to increase the overall value of both companies. The initial capital contribution made into Citius Oncology by Citius Pharmaceuticals has been made in the form of a note payable in order for Citius Pharmaceuticals to receive these funds back. Additionally, the management services agreement between both companies will have Citius Pharmaceuticals recoup associated management expenses for supporting LymphFear. It is our intention to distribute Citius Oncology shares to Citius Pharmaceuticals at some time after CTOR stock has had an opportunity to trade and stabilize. At that same time, we will communicate the plan of distribution to our shareholders. Let me now turn to the financing of the LymphFear launch. LymphFear assets were previously transferred to Citius Oncology. We expect to fund LymphFear-related obligations through Citius Oncology. With the approval of LymphFear, we believe our options for debt, equity, or a combination of both have expanded and may provide us with more favorable terms than in the past. Having two publicly traded vehicles gives us the opportunity to engage with the investment community and the ability to finance both companies as needed and separately. And with that, I will turn the call back to Leonard for some final thoughts.
Thank you, Jamie. This has been a tremendous year for Citius. We continue to deliver on the goals that we outlined for 2024, which has been a transformational year for the company. LymphFear is now FDA approved, one. Two, the Citius Oncology spinout has been completed and trading will begin today, shortly. Three, the Mino-Lok trial has been completed and primary and secondary endpoints were met. And we are just getting started. I'm confident in our ability to transition to a commercial stage company and continue to build value in Citius. We are eager to bring LymphFear to market and to keep exploring its potential. This is our first approval, and it's an important one. It's very important for any pharmaceutical company to receive approval from the FDA, and this will be LymphFear's, what we hope to be, first indication. As a final thought, I want to reiterate that the FDA's approval of LymphFear is a tremendous win for the CTCL community. Most drugs don't make it out of the development stage, and even fewer companies are willing to take the risk of development treatments for rare diseases. So I'd like to thank the clinical trial patients, the Citius team, our external partners, and the Citius shareholders whose investment helped fund this journey. We appreciate your continued support. Thank you, and at this time, we'll open a line for questions. Operator, go ahead.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. If at any time your question has been addressed and you would like to withdraw your question, please press star then two. And our first question for today will come from Jason McCarthy with Maxim Group. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Leonard and team. Congratulations on all the progress and the success. Just briefly on the commercial side, you know, you had said that you're not anticipating any access or reimbursement issues. Does that mean that you're going to need to get the J-code first? If so, are you going to apply for the J-code and when? And also, what do you think the timing for the potential inclusion in NCCN guidelines could be, and how that all could impact the initial launch?
Sure. Yes, we do intend to file for a specific J-code for LymphFear. That will go in around the prior to October, and it's a six-month review. All goes well, we should have that specific J-code by April of 2025. Until then, which is not unusual in this arena, the physicians and the folks in the office will be using the miscellaneous J-code for reimbursement. We have submitted to NCCN all the materials. They are pretty quick with regards to the review. We anticipate probably within a month to 2 months to hear back from them to be for inclusion on the guidelines.
And what are the plans that Eversana has in terms of, well, their expectations of penetration of the 800 docs or so that are treating three or more patients per year? Is that where their focus is going to be, kind of that quote-unquote higher volume provider? And what do they expect in the first year or two of launch?
So with regards to where this takes place, it's very concentrated. As we mentioned, there are 800 healthcare professionals located in about 141 institutions, so and mostly in the your metropolitan areas. So that's where we'll be targeting our efforts around those institutions, because as you know, within the institution we see three or four healthcare professionals that will be involved in patient care and prescribing treatments for these patients. So our focus will be on first the institutions. And then we'll drill down and take a look at what healthcare professionals are there. And obviously with our key account managers, our MSLs, they'll be focused on in providing education and information on LymphFear to them during the launch and post-launch.
And just briefly, last question. With all the excitement around LymphFear and CTCL, when do you expect to have updates from the University of Pittsburgh study on the combination with Keytruda and the other one at, I think it's at University of Minnesota, the CAR-T program that's running up there? When could we expect updates on those programs?
Yes, this is Dr. Trishman. Currently, it's still early with respect to these phase one trials. However, the plan is to submit an abstract to a national meeting later this year. In addition to that, as soon as we have any publications or additional updates, we will share that with our shareholders and online.
Great, thank you. What a week for Citius, guys. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jason.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our next question will come from Mike Okunewitch with Maxim Group. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking my questions today, and congrats on all the progress.
Thank you.
I guess to start off, just once you get the launch underway for LymphFear, looking forward, do you have any thoughts on what will be the focus of the company for development and expansion? Will you be looking into expanding LymphFear into indications like those, IO studies that are early stage or even PTCL, or potentially bringing in additional assets through business development? Any additional color you can provide would be helpful here.
So, so we do plan to expand ultimately into PTCL. That's low-hanging fruit for us. What we know from the past is that there could be some off-label use of this drug into that indication. And then, we have that University of Pittsburgh situation, as well as for our drug combined with Keytruda. And also another investigator IND trial is underway at the University of Minnesota, where it's being combined with CAR-T. Having said that, ultimately down the road, as the company progresses, we'll have a business development activity to broaden the company's portfolio.
All right, thank you. And then one follow-up just on the general market dynamics. So to my understanding, there isn't a general guideline for the order of targeted therapies in CTCL. So how do physicians typically choose what order to give patients these targeted therapies? Is this based primarily on preference or physician experience?
Yeah, that's a great question. I believe that at least in the past, when we didn't have this number of targeted therapies, it was a little bit easier. At this point, a lot of the which therapy would come in sequence really depends on the unique experience with the actual physician, but also with the patient, what their needs are. You know, for example, if the patient is has a severe pruritus as well as often painful lesions, I believe that it's important to be able to give them relief as soon as possible. So maybe choosing a product that actually can deliver a decrease in the skin tumor burden and also relieve these symptoms could be important. We look at LymphFair actually giving us a fairly quick time to response in these responding patients. And I think that otherwise there will have to be some education. And when we look at the targeted therapies, we would need to actually look at sequencing them where the patient has the most benefit, an optimal, say, experience, and be able to continue all those therapies as long as we can to prolong the patient's quality of life and overall survival.
All right, thank you. And then just one last one for me, and I'll hop back in the queue. Just looking at the original label for Ontak, it did come with a black box for vision loss. While it seems like FDA hasn't put that in for LymphFear quite yet and is asking for some further evaluation. So is this a case where there's anything in the new LymphFear data that suggests an improved safety profile versus the original Ontak?
With respect to that question, we're looking at the actual data that was generated in our phase 3 trial that led to our BLA submission to the FDA, but also there were trials that were done with the same agent in Japan. And with respect to our database and those patients that went on these trials, it was that any visual acuity difficulties or disorders were fairly low, minimal, and primarily grade 1 or 2 and reversible in the majority of cases. And therefore, with respect to that data, which we submitted to the FDA, it was felt that it did not warrant a black box warning at this time. But at the same time, the FDA would like us to evaluate patients, and in case there is any visual difficulties, see if we can gain better explanation as to what its mechanism is. However, at this time, we don't anticipate any severe eye toxicity.
All right. Thank you very much. And once again, congrats on the progress. Really fantastic work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question will come from Vernon Bernardino with H.C. Wainwright. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for taking my question, and congrats from me as well on the progress. Had a question as far as an accounting treatment. You and the team will operate Citius Oncology under a shared services agreement. So I was wondering how that will be treated as far as Citius Pharma's P&L and other financial statements. And the second question I have is, I was wondering if you could give other examples of oncology treatments that initially were reimbursed under a general J-code. Thank you.
Thanks, Vernon. This is Jamie Bartushak. I'll take the first question with respect to shared services. So there's really two components to that. One will be the cash back from Citius Oncology into Citius Pharma. So that shared services agreement will be such that we'll add up the time that management spends on Citius Oncology and have a bill back mechanism to get the cash back into Citius Pharmaceuticals. So that's the cash impact of it. So it will be an expense to one company and a credit to the other. But in the roll-up, it'll be a wash because we're consolidating the operations of all companies. So as Citius Oncology rolls up into Citius Pharma, it will be a net zero-sum gain. But the concept is to, you know, compensate Citius Pharma from a cash standpoint and recompense that back into the parent company, if you will. I'll let Dr. Trutchman take the second part. Or Mike McGuire, I'm sorry.
So with regards to miscellaneous J codes, that is very, very common when products are launched because it takes about six months to get a specific J code. So it's not only in oncology drugs, but it's in antibiotics. It's in a number of buy and bill type drugs that are launched that they'll be using a miscellaneous J code.
As a follow-up to that, was there a J code for quadruple seven when it was first on the market?
Yes, for ONTAC, there was a J code. We have actually asked the CMS to withdraw that J code because the generic name now has a suffix to it, which was not included in the original J code. We didn't want to have confusion with healthcare professionals using the wrong J code for reimbursement and being denied. So the old J code was removed. We will file the new J code at the end of September for the October time period. It's about a 6-month review, and we should have specific J code in April of 2025.
Great. Thanks for taking my questions. I look forward to CVS Oncology performing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vernon.
This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to management for any closing remarks. Please go ahead.
So once again, we'd like to thank all the shareholders and investors for their participation, taking the time out to listen to our presentation, and we look forward to a very successful 2024 and 2025 as we, again, transition from being a pre-revenue company to a revenue-producing company. I think it's a great moment for all of us. Thank you.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.